Alright, Rebbe, we'll say good morning. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Beautiful Gemara ahead of us. So we are picking up, today's daf is Kuf Mem, 140. We are picking up on 139B at the two dots. Of Tame Patra Melushalech. It's 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollack in commemoration of the yahrzeit of Paul's parents, Shmuel ben Zachariah, Zichrono Livracha, Sarah bas Avram, Zichrono Livracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshamas will have an aliyah and the family a nechama. We'll say with that, let's begin. Of Tomei, Patim Mishlech. Remember again, the Mishnah said that if you have a non-kosher bird, ultimately, again, you do not have to send away prior to taking the chick. Says the Imam and Hani Mili, from where do we know this from? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak to Amar Kra, ki kari kan sipor lefanecha. Pasuk says, if you will come upon a bird's nest in front of you. So now the Gemara breaks up this phrase to darshan. Oaf. So when the pasuk says oaf, so oaf means oaf, mashmalei, bein tar u bein tame. Oaf means ultimately again a bird, whether it is tar or tame, which obviously would seem to indicate that the obligation of shiluach hakein applies to both kosher and non-kosher birds. But then when the pasuk adds in a modifier, tzipor, tar ashkechon deikri tzipor, tame lo ashkechon deikri tzipor. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara suggests that halacha lemaisa, the word tzipor only refers to a kosher bird, does not refer to a non-kosher bird. So now we're going to spend some time developing that concept and speaking that out. The concept that although oaf could potentially refer to any type of flying creature, kosher or non-kosher, tzipor, dafka, refers to kosher birds and not to non-kosher ones. So tashma, tavn is called tzipor kanaf. So we'll say the pasuk over here. The pasuk over here quotes from Devarim. Tavn is called behema sheba aretz. Tavnis called tzipor kanaf. They're actually talking about this is by avodah zara. So the Torah is telling us that you are not permitted to create an image. Tavnis means an image called tzipor of any bird. Called tzipor kanaf, literally any winged bird asher ta'of bashamayim, that goes ahead and flies in the skies. So now says the Gemara, my love tzipor bein tar bein tamei kanaf chagavim. So we'll say, doesn't the word tzipor in this context mean either kosher or non-kosher? What is knaf? What does winged creatures come to include? It comes to include locusts. It's not allowed to make images of any of these things. But what do you see from here? You see from here that the word tzipor doesn't just mean kosher birds, it means non-kosher birds as well. To which the Gemara says, love, tzipor tar. No, in fact, tzipor means kosher birds. Knaf, the word knaf, winged creature, refers to tamei v'chagavim, refers to any non-kosher birds as well as grasshoppers. So tashma, hachayi b'chol behema. So the Gemara over here quotes the pasuk from Tehillim, hachayi b'chol behema, remes v'tzipor kanof. So says the Gemara, my love, tzipor bein tar bein tamei. So doesn't tzipor mean whether kosher or non-kosher? Uknaf and winged creatures, chagavim, refer to locusts, to which the Gemara says, lo, tzipor tar, knaf tamei v'chagavim. No, the word tzipor, whenever you find tzipor, tzipor is always going to refer to a kosher bird. Knaf is going to refer to winged, well, non-kosher birds, as well as grasshoppers. We'll say, remember again. So we're focusing on the idea, just to keep focused here. The Mishnah told us that the obligation of shiluach hakein only applies to kosher birds. We are learning that out from the word tzipor. We are suggesting the word tzipor only refers to kosher birds, does not refer to non-kosher birds. So we're constantly challenging and then answering. So Gemara goes right to Tashma. Last two lines, Kuf Lametes Amud Beis, 139b, last two lines. Tashma, called tzipor bal kanaf. Pasuk says every tzipor called kanaf. My love kidemakshinon. So is this not, as we questioned before, meaning doesn't tzipor ultimately, again, refer to kosher and non-kosher birds, to which the Gemara says, lo, kidimishanina. No, it's the same answer we had before, which is sipo refers to kosher birds, and knaf, winged creatures, refers to non-kosher birds, as well as locusts. Tashma, va'ata ben adam emor let sipor kol kanaf. So we'll say the Gemara here quotes the pasuk from Yechezkel, again using the word sipor kol kanaf. My love kidakshinon. Does tzipor not refer ultimately again to kosher and non-kosher birds? Lo kidishanina. No, as we answered before, namely Sipar refers to kosher birds, and what kanaf refers to non-kosher birds as well as locusts. Tashma was a type of kuf mem amud aleph 148. Uba anpohi yurudun tzipari shemaya. Supposed to say the Gemara here quotes in the pasuk from Daniel, which literally means on its branches shall the birds of the heavens dwell. This is one of Daniel's prophetic visions. Point over here is, it's using the word birds. All types of birds, both kosher and non-kosher ones, go ahead and rest on branches. So would this not be a raya, would this not be a proof that the word sipar refers to kosher and non-kosher birds together? To which the Gemara says, tzipori shmayo ikru, tzipori stama lo ikru. To which the Gemara makes a very interesting distinction. Here the Torah is used, the Navi uses lashon of tzipori shmayo, right? Birds of the heavens. In Achinami, birds of the heavens is a catch-all phrase for kosher birds, non-kosher birds. However, again, tzipori stam, regular tzipor, ultimately, again, refers to kosher birds, not to non-kosher birds. Tashma. So the Gemara goes weiter. Called tzipor tahora. Pasuk says, any kosher bird, michlal di'ika tmeya, does that not tell me that there is something called the tzipor that is not a kosher bird? I'm supposed to say, the fact that you have to say called tzipor tahora, any of every kosher bird, does that not tell me that there is something called a tzipor tmeya? So you see from here that what? The word seaport does not only refer to kosher birds, but refers to non-kosher birds as well. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, michlal di'ika asura." No, in fact, what we're learning from the pasuk is that there is a seaport that is usur. I will say, remember again, we are going to make a distinction between something that is usur versus something that is not kosher. For example, maihi eat treifa. So I'll say, for example, be a treifa. A treifa is a bird which is categorically kosher, but technically speaking, because of different circumstances, it's going to be treif. So the Gemara says, eat treifa. If you're telling me ultimately again that the Torah is coming to include a treifa, that you're not allowed to eat a treifa, behejik siv. I have a pasuk that explicitly teaches me that. Vi'i b'shchuta d'metzora. And if you want to say about side that, it refers to the shchuta of the metzora. Remember again, a metzora brings two birds. One is set free, one is shechted. So maybe the pasuk is coming to teach me that you're not allowed to eat the bird of the metzora that was shechted. Even though, again, it had a proper shechita, you're not allowed to eat it. To which the Gemara says, Misefa dekar nafka. I learn out that you're not allowed to eat the bird of the metzora from another pasuk, the end of the pasuk. What's the end of the pasuk? Vizeh asher lo tochlu mehem. And this is what you shall not eat of them. We'll say, what does the Gemara say? L'rabos shchutas metzora. That comes to include the metzora bird, which is shechted. Even though it is properly shechted, halacha l'maisa, you're still not allowed to eat it. To which the Gemara says, the olam b'shchuta de metzora. In reality, we'll say, when the pasuk says, kol tzipar tahora, tochelu, you're allowed to eat any kosher bird, which learning out from here tells me what? That I'm not allowed to eat a bird that is not tahor. What's an example of a bird that's not tahor? It's kosher, but not tahor. Bitzipor of Mitzora. Right? So the Gemara says, but what I need two psukim? To which the Gemara says, V'lavar I love, ba'aseh v'lo saseh. So that this way, if I do eat the tzipor of the Mitzora, of the Mitzora, that I am in violation of an aseh and the lo saseh, positive commandment, as well as a prohibition. So the Gemara says, V'lukma betreifa v'la'avor avlov ba'aseh v'lo saseh. So why don't I say that it's referring ultimately to a treifa? Right? It's referring to a bird that's a treifa. And same thing, I'll go ahead and be in violation of an aseh and a lo saseh. Davar halamid me'inyano. So we'll say, because in general, when trying to learn something out from a pasuk, we try to learn something out from the proper context. U'be'inyano d'shchuta ksiv. And ultimately, remember, this is referring, the topic over here is one of an animal which has been properly shechted, but yet is still not kosher. What's an example, ultimately, again, of a bird which has experienced proper shechita, but is yet still not kosher? An example that would be what? Tzipor de Metzora. The bird of the Metzora, been properly shechted, but you're not allowed to eat it. So Tashma, Rabbi say, here we go, Viter, Shtei Tziporim Chayos. So back to we're focusing now on the birds of the Metzora. So the Torah tells you that I'm supposed to take two live birds. Shtei tziporos chayos. My chayos, what does it mean that they're alive? Lav shechayos beficha. Does this not mean ultimately again that what? That they are alive in my mouth. What does it mean alive in my mouth? that halacha lemaisa, I'm allowed to eat them. Right? I'm allowed to eat them. Chayas v'picha means they're alive in my mouth, I'm allowed to eat it. Michlal di'ikalav shechayas v'picha. Does this not mean that what? That there are types of kosher birds, that although they are kosher, cannot quote unquote live in my mouth. Meaning it will say, they're kosher but yet not fit for consumption. My chayos, so Gemara says, lo, that's not what it means. My chayos, what does chayos mean? Shechayin rashe ivan shalahan. I will say what it means is that all of their limbs are intact. So the Torah Kedosh is telling me that for the birds that I use for the Metzorah, they must be whole birds with complete limbs intact. So Tashma Misefa, look at the end of the Pasuk, Tahoros. So the Pasuk says you have to take Shtei Siporim Chayos Tahoros. All by the Metzorah. You have to take two birds which are Tahar, right? Which are alive and Tahar. Michlal Diketmeos. So say, does that not mean that the Archbishop will say, remember again, just to keep focused over here, what are we trying to focus on? Mishnah made a statement. What was the statement? Shiloach HaKena does not apply to non-kosher birds. Why not? Because the Torah uses the word tzipor, and tzipor only means kosher birds. All we're trying to prove over here is that that is incorrect. We are trying to show that there are examples where tzipor could even mean a non-kosher bird. Says the Gemara. So the Pasuk by Mitzorah says the birds have to be tahoros, michlal di'ikatameos. What do you see from here? You see from here that the fact that it has to say tahoros would indicate to me that halacha lemaisa, there are other forms of tzip, there are other tziporim, that ultimately, again, are tameos. So from here you see that the word tzipor doesn't only apply to kosher birds, but could also apply to non-kosher birds, to which the Gemara says, lo, michlal di'ikat trefus. To which the Gemara says, no, in fact, what it's coming to teach me is that halacha lemaisa, there are birds which are trefos. Trefos mechayos nafka. So we'll say, really? So remember again, what's a trefa? So a trefa, remember, is again an animal which is categorically kosher, just there's something else that's going on that is rendering the animal unfit, some type of blemish or injury or something else. So I will say, so interestingly enough, so from the phrase chayos, what's the Lashon? Lashon is siporim chayos tahoros. So what are we saying? That tahoros ultimately refers to trefa, meaning that the converse of tahar is not tame, but the opposite of tahar is what? Is trefa. To which the Gemara says, so hani chalaman da'amar trefa chaya. That's fine according to Mandama who says that a trefa could live. So also remember we saw this machlokis much earlier on in the Masechta. But according to the opinion who says that a trefa cannot live, what is there to say? To which the Gemara says, and furthermore, again, according to both of those opinions, whether you hold trefa chaya, trefa not chaya, So also remember again, we learned this from the Tanadbe Rabbi Shmuel. Because the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel said as follows. Ne'emar, this is actually very interesting. Ne'emar machshir u'mechaper b'fnim. So we'll say, remember again, in the world of sacrificial offerings, there are two different types of identity. There is what's called ultimately a machshir and a mechaper. So the Torah speaks about a machshir u'mechaper b'fnim. Something that is, we're going to define this in just a moment. A machshir and mechaper that takes place inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'ne'emar machshir u'mechaper b'chutz. And it says machshir u'mechaper outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Look at Rashi over just a moment. Rashi says, va'od chefa miditarn d'ar yishma mibinya. Listen to this. Machshir b'bifnim. So we'll say, what's the case of machshir u'mechaper b'bifnim? Rashi says, asha mitzora v'chatos mechusari kapara d'zavin v'yoldo shenan ba'in ela hachshiran b'kachin. So we'll say, a machshir is a sacrificial offering which renders a person fit to come into the Beis HaMikdash. So what's an example of that? The asham of a mitzorah, or chatos for zavin and yolodas, right? So we'll say these are examples of kabanos that have to be brought by these individuals who in their current state are prohibited from coming into the Beis HaMikdash. Once you go ahead and you bring these kabanos, they can enter into the Beis HaMikdash. That is called a machshir. Machshir is something that makes you kosher to be able to do something else. In this case, enter into the Beis HaMikdash. So those are machshir bifnim. And there is machshir, and there is mechaper bithnim. What's the mechaper? Kol chataos v'ashamos. We'll say a chatos is a mechaper. An asham, besides asham and sora, is a mechaper. These are things that atone. So there's a machshir bifnim and a mechaper bifnim. Furthermore, there's a machshir bachutz. What's the example of a machshir bachutz? Tzipori mitzora shein letayr. So we'll say, so for example, the bird offerings of a mitzora are also called the machshir. They make the mitzora tahor. Remember again, anything that makes you tahor is called a machshir. That's a machshir bachutz. There's also a mechaper bachutz. The Bible said there's only one mechaper bachutz. What's the one? Because remember again, kapara always, almost always, takes place inside of the Beis HaMikdash. What's the one example of kapara bachutz? Rashi points out, si'ir ha-mishtaleach. Interestingly enough, the goat that's thrown off the cliff on Yom Kippur. So amazingly enough, right? So they both say, so therefore you see, there's a, and I will say, by the way, this, I just want to tell you, this is part of the, also part of the exciting journey of Daf Yomi we take together, that sometimes these yisodistic ideas that you kind of just pick up along the way. So we've got the machshir and the mechaper. Machshir is pretty much anything that makes you tar. Mechaper is something that atones for some type of transgression. So I have machshir u'mechaper outside of the Beis HaMikdash, machshir mechaper inside of the Beis HaMikdash. So here we go. Ma machshir u'mechaper amar b'fnim. Was it just like when it comes to the machshir and mechaper that take place inside of the Beis HaMikdash? Asa bo machshir ki mechaper. We equate the machshir with the mechaper. We're both saying, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Asa bo machshir ki mechaper. Bechol mine kashrus v'tara. Shagam machshir and krevim amur. So we'll say, so I mean, just like all the details of kashrus and all the details of tamimus, right, apply to both. Af machshir mechaper amur bachutz. So too, again, the machshir mechaper that are done outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Asa bo machshir ki mechaper. Ultimately, what? We make the machshir like the mechaper. So if I will say, what do you see from here? That sipori mitzora have to be kasher birds. That's the takeaway from all of this. So therefore, once again, we're seeing that the word sipor only refers to what? To kosher items. Ela amrav nachar bar Yitzchak lemeute tzipor ir hanidachas. So I'll say, it's actually very interesting. Remember again, here's the problem. The problem is we're trying to figure out, this is now by kashrus, when the pasuk says, called tzipor tohora tochelu, you shall eat every kosher bird. So we understand that pasuk is coming to include something and exclude something. Include, I know. What is it coming to exclude? Oh, it's coming to exclude the birds of an ir hanidachas. I said that incorrectly. We're focusing now on which birds cannot be used by tzipori mitzora. Right? So the fact that it says chayos tzohoros is coming to exclude something. What is it coming to exclude? Oh, you can't use the birds of an ir hanidachas. Remember again, an ir hanidachas is a city which is condemned because its residents worship idolatry. So if you have birds from that city, you cannot use them. To which the Gemara says, okay, lemai, what would I be using them for? Meaning, which part of the mitzvah process would I be using it for? Ilu shiloach, if I'm going to use it as the bird to send away, lo amra Torah shaleach l'takala. So remember again, I will say, so to use a bird from the Irani Dachas as the bird that I send away, there's the possibility that what may happen? Someone else may what? Find that bird, not know that there's anything wrong with that bird, and eat that bird. So to take a bird which you're not allowed to use and then use it for the shiloach doesn't make sense. Ella l'shchita. Rather again, what the Torah is telling me is, I am not permitted to go ahead and use that bird to shecht. I can't use it as the shechted bird for tzipori mitzora. So we'll say, okay, fine. Rava Amar Rava says, what is being excluded from tzipori mitzora? L'me'ute shol zavig lo acheres kodem shiluchal. Well, this is actually very interesting. If I have two birds, I have a mitzora. I've got two birds. I shechted one. I'm about to send away another. I'm the kohen. And luck would have it, right as I'm about to send away this bird, who walks in? Another mitzora. I figure to myself, let's chaperein over here. Let me use this bird that I'm about to send away for the second mitzvah as well. The Torah says, ultimately, again, I'm not allowed to do that. So I'm sorry, we worked ahead. Lemai, ilu shchita, habaya, so the Gemara says, habaya shiluach, ela l'shiluach. So we'll say, so again, halocha l'maisa, if I have a mitzvah and I have his bird that I'm about to send away, and then the second mitzvah walks in, I cannot use the bird I was going to send away the first, for the shiluach of the second as well. So, Rav Papa Amar Litziporim Sheikh Lifo, b'tzipray of the zara. So let's listen to this. Rav Papa says it comes to exclude birds which were exchanged for avodah zara. That if you went ahead and you bartered avodah zara for birds, so ultimately again those birds themselves are vested with some type of avodah zara. You should look at Rashi. It's Rav Papa Amar. It's five lines up from the bottom. Tohoros l'me'utei tziporim she'echlifu. So ultimately, again, if you went ahead and you either exchanged avodah zarah for birds or you used money from selling avodah zarah for birds, those birds cannot be used as part of the mitzorah process. Ultimately, again, literally will be chirim like it. Ultimately, you're going to say literally, whatever you generate with avodah zarah, or whatever you bring into existence with avodah zarah, has the status of avodah zarah. Therefore, I will say any item exchanged for avodah zarah, or any item bought with money from avodah zarah, has the status of avodah zarah. Therefore, such birds would not be permitted for use with the tziporim as the tziporim mitzorah. To which the Gemara says, "Lamai." So, what would I use it for? If I'm going to use the avodah zarah bird, which means the bird purchased with avodah zarah money or exchanged for avodah zarah for shiluach purposes, that can't be why. Lo amra Torah shaleach letakala. Because remember again, above said that I'm creating a stumbling block. What's a stumbling block? I'm essentially taking a bird which is unfit for consumption. I'm releasing it into the wild, running the risk that someone may find it and eat it. Elo l'shchita. Rather, what do you see from here? You cannot use this quote unquote avodah zarah bird for shechita purposes. Ravina says, how come I ask, what are we dealing with over here? But in other words, what's the type of bird that the Torah is coming to exclude that cannot be used for tzipori mitzora? Ultimately, ba'ov shahara gesanefesh, a bird that killed someone. Eric actually just sent me an article about this yesterday in Florida. Apparently, it just happened. A bird killed someone. It's a great way to start the day, I know, right? So Gemara says this following. The bird that killed someone. People send me the most random stuff. I want to thank all of you for that. Says the Gemara as follows. So what does this mean that a bird killed someone? So the Gemara says, "Hey chidami, eat the gamardina." So we'll say if the bird already had a gemardin, in other words, the bird was already sentenced. So bar katalu. So we'll say obviously I can't use it for shiluach, right? Because ultimately, again, it's as if it's dead already. Ela kodem gemardina. Rather, it must be the bird killed someone, but has not yet been sentenced. So the Gemara says, "Lulamai." So what would I use the bird for then in the mitzvah process? Ilu shiluach, if I'm going to send it away, ba'i lasui lebeidina. I have to first bring it to Beis Din. V'kiyume and uphold ubi artara mikirbecha. But say there's an obligation ultimately again to bring the bird to Beis Din, to have it sentenced and to expunge the evil from our midst. Ela l'shchita. Rather, ultimately, again, it means for shchita. So bottom line, first of all, we see over here is a number of interesting things. The statement that the Gemara made at the beginning of the sugya has held true. Namely, what? That halacha l'maisa, the word tzipor, Abosai, means what? Means a kosher bird. And therefore, again, for our purposes, in Perek Shiluach HaKein, in Mesech HaSchulin, we now understand that the obligation of Shiluach HaKein, sending away the mother bird, only applies to kosher birds. That's the definition of tzipor. As opposed to oaf, the word oaf could potentially be a much more expansive word that could potentially include all types of birds. Tzipor dafka refers to kosher birds. We now actually, and from the fact that by mitzvah the Torah uses this multiple lashonos of tzipor chayus, tohoros, come to exclude all of these complicated birds from the mitzvah process as well. Good. Of tami rovets al beitzei of tar. Remember again, the next part of the Mishnah said that if you have a non-kosher bird which is sitting on top of kosher eggs, right? So ultimately, again, the Mishnah said it will say that what? That halacha lemaisa, you are potter from shiluach. Any type of variation like this, either a non-kosher bird sitting on kosher eggs or a kosher bird sitting on non-kosher eggs, there is no obligation for shiluach in this case. Says the Gemara, Bishlama of Tamei Rovetz al Beit Seitar. So I understand why there's no obligation to send away the mother bird when it's a kosher bird sitting on non-kosher bird sitting on kosher eggs. Because well, as we just said before, ba'inan sipor. In order for you to have an obligation of shiluach hakin, sending away the mother bird has to satisfy the definition of tzipor. As we've established, the definition of tzipor is kosher bird. So a non-kosher bird sitting on top of kosher eggs will of course not be subject to the halachos of shiluach hakein. Ela of tahar, roveitz abeitze of tameh, hat siparhu. But I would say, if I have a kosher bird sitting on non-kosher eggs, why shouldn't that mother be subject to shiluach hakein? After all, she is a tzipor, kida amar Rav Kana, because Rav Kana said, I would say, although tzipor tells us about the necessary qualities of the mother must be a tzipor, i.e. she must be a kosher bird. What else does the pasuk say? Tikach lach. We'll say the pasuk when speaking about the chicks says, send away the mother bird. Ve'es habanim tikach lach. Take the chicks for yourselves. Lecha, tikach lach, velo leklavecha. The chicks have to be something which are fit for you and not just your dogs. Which I will say means what? The chicks themselves have to be edible as well. Have to be kosher. Not just something you could feed your animals, but something that you yourself can ingest. So the Gemara says, Hachanami tikach lecha velo leklavecha. Ultimately, again, so to over here, the pasuk says, tikach lecha, take it for you, tikach lach, you shall take it for yourself. Ultimately, what? And not just for your dog. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, we now have a two-pronged drasha. Sipor teaches me that halacha lemaisa, the mother must be kosher, and tikach lach teaches me the children, the chicks, the eggs, must be kosher as well. Therefore, again, if I'm missing any one of these two ingredients, no obligation of shiluach hakein. Ve'eche itmar Rav Kana. So we'll say, where was Rav Kana's statement actually made? So the Gemara says, aha, over here, desanya, aim trefa, chayiv b'shiluach. We'll say, if the mother is a trefa. Now remember again, we'll say, what does trefa mean? So trefa means the animal is what? Animal is what? Categorically kosher. But as you know, there's something else. Whatever that remember, we spent a long time in Eila Trefus, right? We know what makes sense. So whatever the trefa is. So if the animal is categorically kosher, but it's trefa, chai b'shiluach. So then I'm obligated to send away the mother bird. Which mostly makes sense. Why? Why, even if the mother is a trefa, do I still have to send her away? Why? Tzipor. Right? Because that's all. It's because she satisfies the definition of tzipor. However, efrochim trefos, but if the chicks are trefos, then what? Patr m'shiluach. You do not have an obligation of shiluach. Why not? Minahani midi amrav kana damakra tikach lach velo leklavecha. We'll say this is very interesting because when it comes to the chicks, the Torah uses lashon of tikach lach, which means that in order to be chayiv in shiluach, the chicks have to be edible. They have to be edible, and if the eggs or the chicks are not edible, then there's an obligation of shiluach. Very interesting drasha, to which the Gemara says ulahakish aim treifa lefrochim. But why don't you compare the mother to the chicks? Ma efrochim trefos patr mishiluach af aim trefa nami patr mishaleach. But I will say, why don't we compare the mother to the chicks? Just like if the chicks are a trefa, ultimately again there's no mitzvah of shiluach. So too, if the mother is a trefa, also no mitzvah of shiluach. Amud beis Rabbi saying, im kein sipor lemeutei och tame lamali. If that's the case, ultimately again, then why would I need the drush of tzipor to go ahead and exclude an of tame? Why would I need that drasha? Vatanya, but we learned aim efrochim trefa chayiv b'shiluach. I will say, if the mother of the chicks is a trefa, there is an obligation to send her away. Amra baye hachi kamar. This is what it means to say. I will say, let me say the way we think to read that price is like this: aim efrochim trefa. So I will say, it's amazing how you get so many definitions if you don't know how to read something. So even from Trefa means like this: the mother of Trefa Efrochin is Chayev B'Shiluach. So that's what we're reading that Braisa. That if the mother of Trefa Efrochin, which means the mother is fine, the Efrochin are Trefos, you're still Chayev in Shiluach. Amar Abayi says, no, you're reading that wrong. Hachi Kamar, Efroach She'iman Trefa Chayev B'Shiluach. Rather, what it actually means is what? What it means is that if you have a mother that is a trefa, but the efrochin are what? The efrochin are totally fine. That's when there will be a chiyuv of shiluach. So far we are subscribing to this concept of Rav Kana. So it's actually very interesting. So you follow the progression. Tzipor teaches me that the mother ultimately, again, has to be kosher. Kosher type, categorically kosher. Tikach loch teaches me that the afrocha and the chicks must be fit for consumption, which yields a very interesting reality. If the mother is a trefa, as long as the afrochen are fit for consumption, what's the halacha? Chayev bishiloch. You have to send away the mother bird. Masha'inkein, if the mother is kasher, but the chicks are trefas, there is no obligation of shiloach in that case. So the Gemara goes weiter. By Rabbi Oshia, Bosei Kuf Mem 140b, four lines down from the top. So by Rabbi Oshia, Hoshit Yado Lakan Vishachat Miut Simon Emao. Bosei, interesting case. What happens if you stick your hand into the nest, right? Right, let's say from the bottom of the nest, side of the nest, whatever it is. And what happens? Uvishachat Miut Simonim. And you shecht a minority of the simonim, of the efrochin, of the chicks. So Mahu, Rabbi Oshia, what is the halacha? Rabbi Oshia, now understand. Shechting the miut of the simonim could potentially go ahead and make the animal, the chicks, a trefa. So do we say that what? Since if you do nothing more, the chicks will become a trefa. And if the chicks become trefas, then what? There is, right, there is no obligation of shiloach hakein. Oh, dilma kevan deviado lemigmar shchita. Or do we say, since I have the ability to remedy the situation, how do I have the ability to remedy the situation? Finish up the shechita. Therefore, what Rabbi say, it's considered to be tikach lach, right? The chicks are fit for consumption, and therefore I should be chai b'shiluach, to which the Gemara says, teku. We table the question for the Yahanavi. By Rabbi Yirmiya, we'll say another case. Matlis ma'usha tachot. So we'll say another interesting case. Let's say the mother is not sitting directly on the eggs, but instead what? There is a matlis. Matlis means a piece of material. There's a piece of material between her and the eggs. Does that make her as if she's on the eggs or not on the eggs? Or, kinafayim mahu? Sheachut, so we'll say, what happens if there are detached feathers? And the detached feathers form a layer between the mother and the eggs. Remember again, the common denominator is what? That ultimately, again, the mother is not sitting directly on the eggs. Or, beitzim muzaros. We'll say beitzim muzaros means unfertilized eggs. Unfertilized eggs. So let's say, again, there's a layer of unfertilized eggs between the mother and the chicks and the fertilized eggs. Mau. Or, shnei sidre beitzim zuagavzu. Or, we'll say, what happens if in the nest itself there are two rows of eggs? So that the mother is sitting, but she's only sitting on the top row. She's obviously not in direct contact with the second row. Or zocher agave beitzim, or nekev agave zocher. Or we'll say, what happens if there's a male bird sitting on top of the eggs, but the female bird is sitting on top of the male bird? Mahu, what's the halacha in all of these cases? To which the Gemara says, teku. We'll say, in other words, just keep walking. Just keep walking if you see this, right? Don't stop. So it says, wait for the Yanavi. Bar Rav Zera, Yona abeitze tesil, mahu. Tot tasil abeitze yona mahu. So we'll say, what happens? Rav Zera is the following kasha. What happens if you have a yona, which is a dove, on top of tasil eggs? So apparently, tasil is an animal that is a bird that is like the yona. Right? They're very similar. So I have now a yona, I have a dove on tasil eggs, or tasil on yona eggs. So we'll say, what is the halacha in this type of... Rashi says, Tasil is of tahar v'doma liyona. It is a kosher bird that is like the dove. So we'll say, so you have an interesting case over here. You have two birds which are similar to each other. What happens if they each roost on the other's eggs? Is there a mitzvah shiloach hakein or not? Amar Abaye, Tashma, let's analyze this. Of tamei rovetz al beitze of tahar. So remember, what did the Mishnah say? If you have a non-kosher bird sitting on top of kosher eggs, or tahar roveitz al beitze of tamei, pater mishiloach. What's the first wide line? Kuf mem amud beis. So we'll say, if I have a kosher bird on non-kosher eggs, or a non-kosher bird on kosher eggs, what did the Mishnah tell me? I'm pater from shiloach. What could I infer from here? Hatar v'tar chayiv. But I will say, what you can infer from here is what? A kosher bird on kosher eggs, even if what? It's not the mother and the children, there would be a chiv of shiloach. To which the Gemara says, maybe not, dilma bekura. Maybe this obligation is only by a partridge. So it says, we're going to see the kura bird will often roost even on eggs that are not its own. So the Gemara says, you can't really necessarily see any type of actual obligation from this. So the Gemara goes right. So we'll say now that we brought up the partridge, kora zachar. So we'll say if you have a male partridge sitting on eggs, Rabbi Eliezer mechayv hacham pochim. Rabbi Eliezer says you're chayiv shiluach hakein, and the chacham say that you are potter. Rabbi Avo says my time with Rabbi Eliezer. What's Rabbi Eliezer's logic? Why would he say that you're chayiv for a male bird for shiluach hakein? Asya digira digira. We both say because he makes a gzereshava of digira digira. We both say the lashon of digira means gathering. So listen to this. Ksiv hacha. It says over here. The Gemara quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyo. Kora dagar velo yolad. The kora, the partridge, gathers but does not give birth. Uksiv hasam, and it says over there. So the Gemara over here quoting the pasuk from Yishayo. Ubika ubaka vidagra betzila. Achsham nikpitsu dayos isha reusa. So I say, so ultimately again, so what happens? So the fact, so Rabbi Eliezer is learning this out, that the Torah, the first pasuk that's referring to the kura, the partridge, that gathers and does not give birth, ultimately what? Is referring to a male partridge, a male kura. And yet, the Navi uses the same notion of dagar, right, by the male bird and the female bird, to teach you that in certain respects they are the same. How are they the same? That if they've gathered, so to speak, i.e., and what? Set on a nest. If you have a male partridge that sat on a nest, ultimately, again, it will be chayiv in shiluach. Amar Rav Elazar, machlokis bekura zachar. The machlokis here is by a male kura, a male partridge. Aval bekura nekeva, divrei hakol chayiv. But with a female partridge, everyone will agree that you're chayiv in shiluach. Rav Elazar, everyone will agree. Everyone will agree that if you have a female partridge, even if she is not sitting on her own eggs, that's what? There is a chiyuv for shiluach. Very interesting. If you look at Rashi is a Rav Bakur Nekeva, afilu ena beitzim shela, chayiv l'shaliach. Even if the eggs are not hers, there is still a mitzvah of shiluach hakein. Da'aim karina beihol min hadbucha. So we'll say apparently in the partridge family, right? In the partridge family. So, good. Right, in the partridge, okay, a little bit of a blast from the past there. Right, is good. So in the partridge, oh, mamish. So this is chachma, right? In the partridge family, they are able to roost on eggs that are not their own. They can become one big happy family, right? So it's like, this is amazing. Amazingly enough, salach lamaisa, it could nest on eggs that are not. I wonder if that was part of the chachma. Okay, so it can nest on eggs that are not its own. So therefore, Rav Osai, you can tell they're really young people now. Right? You very much dislike you very young people. Right? So interestingly enough, Saloch Lamaisa, what seems to be happening over here is as follows. So a female partridge, everyone will agree that it's chayiv in shiluach. Why? Because that is the derech for her to roost on other eggs, right, that even are not her own. The shayla, the machlokes, the Gemara is suggesting, is what happens with the male partridge. So divrei hakol chayiv. Pshita, kora, zachar tinan. So we'll say, that's obvious, because the machlokes and the Mishnah is only regarding a male partridge. So ma detema, what would I have thought? So ma detema, rabbanon afilu kora nekeva patri. No, maybe the rabbis even agree that what a female partridge, right, a female kura, should be exempt as well. V'hadik tani zachar, and the only reason ultimately the Mishnah brings down a male kura is why? Lohodi'acha kocho d'Rabbi Eliezer. To teach me the power of Rabbi Eliezer, position Rabbi Eliezer holds that even a male kura will be subject to shiluach hakein. V'amar Rabbi Eliezer, machlokes b'kura zachar. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, knows that no. The machlokes ultimately, again, is by a male kura. Aval b'zachar da'alma, but I will say a regular zachar bird, in other words, outside of the kura family, divrei hakol potter. Everyone will agree that such a bird is potter. So the Gemara says pshita. That's obvious. Kura zachar tnan. Ultimately, again, the Mishnah says that. What are we talking about over here? A male kura. So mal d'teima. What would you have thought, Rabbi Eliezer? Afilu zachar da'alma mechayev. Maybe Eliezer holds that even a male bird, not of the kura family, will still be chayev ultimately in shiluach. Va'adik tani kura zachar, and the only reason it brings down kura zachar is why? Lo di'acha kocha d'rabbanon, to teach you the strength of the rabbanon's position, that even in a case ultimately of a kura zachar, ultimately what? Halacha lemaisa, the Rabbana will still say that you are potter. Kamashlam not. Taina, Mechabes, that supports this. Zachar da alma potter. We'll say when it comes to a regular male bird, everyone agrees that halacha lemaisa, such a bird will be potter from shiluach. The Gemara says, kura zachar. What about the case ultimately again of a kura zachar? So we'll say in that case, Rabbi Elazar mechayiv the chamfotcher. We'll say in that case, Rabbi Elazar says that ultimately again, you will be chayiv, and the Rabbanon say that you will be potter. So we'll say, halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? We paskin like the Rabbanon. In this case, all male birds, including the partridge, are potter from shiluach. There is no such thing as a male bird that will ever be chayiv in shiluach. Ultimately, again, it is only the mother. Says the Mishnah. We'll see, here we go, a little bit weiter. Haisem me'ofefes. So what's an interesting case? Let's say the mother is not sitting directly on top of the eggs. Rather, she's flying. Mufefes means she's flying. She's flying on top of the eggs. Haisa mufefes. Bizman sheknafen, no ghost pekan. So when her, as long as her wings touch the nest, chayiv l'shaleach. Ultimately, you're obligated to send her away. In knafen, no ghost pekan. If her wings do not go ahead and touch the nest, then what? Potter mishlach. So I'll say, if she's flying so high above the nest that her wings do not touch the nest, then einach inami, she is potter from shiluach. If halacha lemaisa, again her wings touch the nest, then halacha lemaisa, she's chayiv. Ein sham ella efrach echad obeitza echad, obeitza achos, chayiv l'shach. So we actually saw this halacha yesterday's daf. Even if there's only one chick or one egg, you're obligated in shiluach hakein. Shene emar, kein, says the word nest, mikomoko. I will say any type of nest, any number of chicks, ultimately again will be chayiv in shiluach hakan. So the Gemara says, hayusham efrochim africhim. Listen to this. If the chicks were flying, right? If the chicks were already capable of flight, o beitzim muzaros, or unfertilized eggs, pater min l'shaleach. So I will say, interestingly enough, the mitzvah of shiluach hakan only applies to chicks which cannot fly, or eggs which are fertilized. So we'll say, therefore, again, if the chicks can fly, the eggs are not fertilized. Patur mishaleach, there's no obligation to shaleach. Shnei emar, va'im rovetzes al ha'efrochim or al ha'beitzim. The pasuk says that the mother is sitting on the efrochim or on the beitzim. Ma'efrochim b'nei kayama. Just like I will say, an efroach is something which is alive. It's a chick that has hatched already. Af beitzim b'nei kayama. So too, ultimately, again, beitzim also have the, must be that they are alive, i.e. fertilized. So the Gemara says, Yatsu Muzaros, this comes to exclude unfertilized eggs from the midst of Shiluach HaKein. Umaha Beitzim Tzrichim Le'iman. And I will say, just as eggs need the mother, Afa Efroch and Tzrichim Le'iman, so too are dealing with what? With chicks, which require their mother. Yatsu Mafrichim, this excludes chicks which can fly, which do not need their mother, and therefore are not subject to the midst of Shiluach HaKein. So Kerala will say, so I just want to point out just the progression of what we have so far. We've got Tzipor, which teaches us that what? Their mother must be categorically kosher, even if technically speaking she's a treifa. We have what? We have, what was the second drasha? By the chicks, tikach lach, right? Tikach lach teaches us that what? That the chicks have to be fit for consumption. And if the chicks are treifas, ultimately, again, there is no mitzvah of shiluach. Now, based on this Mishnah, we have va'im rovetzes al ha'efrochim, that teaches me that what? It only applies to efrochim, which require the mother. Therefore, if the efrochim ultimately can fly, halacha l'maaseh, there is no mitzvah of shiluach. And again, from that we learn that just as it's only efrochim that need the mother, so too it's only beitzim which need the mother. Therefore, if they're unfertilized beitzim, ultimately no obligation of shiluach as well. Incredible. It's just amazing. It's a very beautiful gemara because it's very systematic in the development of the drasha. Tan Rabbanon, rovetzes v'lo ma'ofefes. So remember again, the pasuk says that it has to be that the mother is sitting on top of the eggs. Veloma ofefes. Now, we'll say, now from that I would say that even if the mother is not if the mother is flying above. Now remember, how did the Mishnah start? The Mishnah started by saying that if the mother is flying above the nest, then as long as what? As long as her wings can touch the nest, it's considered to be as if she is sitting on top of the eggs. Yet now the Gemara is dashing. The pasuk says, "Va'im rovetzes ala efrochim." Rovetzes means what? Rovetzes means she's on top of. Maybe that comes to exclude Veloma of Fefes. Afilu knafen nogos pekan. Maybe even if her wings could touch the nest, that's not enough. Tamud loma rovetzes. Therefore, we'll say the Pasuk says rovetzes. Rovetzes teaches us that what? Even if she's flying on top of the nest, as long as what? Her wings could touch the nest, that's enough. My Tamud loma says, what's the drush over here? Midlok siv yosheves. Interestingly enough, the Pasuk doesn't say what? That the mother is sitting on the nets. She will say, Rovetzes literally means what? The literal translation of Rovetzes is, right, hovering, right, or like squatting, right? So meaning it's something on top of, but not Yosheves. Yosheves would be a Lashon of direct contact. But the Gemara's understanding over here, the fact that we don't use the Lashon of Yosheves, but we use the Lashon of Rovetzes, tells me that what? Even if the mother is hovering on top of the nest, as long as her wing could touch the nest, that's enough. Harmed Yehuda Marav, Haisi Yosheves Bein Shnei Rov De Ilan. We'll start this case, but they'll have to stop. So what's this? Who's the name of Rav? If she was sitting on two branches, Bein Shnei Rov De Ilan. So we'll say in this case over here, she is nestled ultimately again between two branches. And as a result, hovering right on top of the nest. So what do we say? Rowan kolshim tishamit noflim aleim chayv l'shaleach v'im laf pater. Ultimately, I will say that what do we look at? If you were to remove the branches, what would happen? If you were to remove the branches, she would fall onto the nest. Then what? It's as if she settled on the nest. If halach l'mais, you were to remove the branches and she would not fall on the nest, then ultimately, again, you are pater from shiloch. We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up the say. By the way, do not get worried. I know some of you are getting worried about the fact that we're leaving over so much Gemara. Thursday's daf, which is the last daf in Yerushalayim, Shalom, Masech Eschulin, you can see is only a little shtickle on Amud Aleph over there. So we'll be absolutely fine for finishing the Masechta. Rest assured. Go ahead.